This is Space Kate here in Florida, and I've made a special trip out to come and see a big block of charred metal. But it's more than that, isn't it, Matt? What are we seeing here?
So this is the first Dragon capsule that SpaceX put up in December of last year. It's out on display here for everybody to see. So we launched this on, it was the second flight of our Falcon 9, the first Dragon flight. Went up, orbited around a couple times, came back down.
This was my first rocket launch, actually. I was waiting for the shuttle to go. It didn't go. I came specially down to see a SpaceX launch. Not quite as exciting as shuttle, because you don't have the solid rocket boosters, do you?
Yeah, a little bit smaller rocket, but still beautiful in its own right, I think. So it splashed down off the coast of California about 3 hours and 20 minutes or so after launch. We picked it back up, brought it back. It was the first commercial spacecraft to come back from orbit. And here it is.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's actually a little bit reminiscent of the Apollo capsules, isn't it? You know, you've got your rocket, you put your little capsule on top, and then that's the bit that orbits the Earth and comes back. Do you have boosters on that separately that then get dropped off before you come back in, or is this everything?
So this is the capsule, the main capsule. There's a trunk section that we're going to use for unpressurized cargo, and that doesn't have any boosters or anything in it. It's got cargo inside. It'll have solar panels on the sides of it, and that gets dropped off. We don't recover that. It just burns up in the atmosphere. So the second stage pushes Dragon off. Dragon goes off, does its thing, drops the trunk back, and then re-enters just this part of the capsule. The heat shield on the bottom there, you can see it's all charred up and everything, so this is the part that's actually recoverable.
And I remember hearing something that about this heat shield being sort of specially designed, is it, for the Dragon capsule?
Yeah, it was an entirely new design. We based it on PICA is the name of the material that, you know, we talked to NASA. They've got a lot of experience doing this, and so we got a lot of knowledge from them and built up our own heat shield, so we call it PICA-X. It's the SpaceX version of it. It's designed, I think Elon at least claims that it's designed for Mars re-entry, so it's much thicker than it needs to be. If you look at it, you know, it's all still there. You could basically just hose it off and reuse it again if you wanted to.
I think if I was going up in that, I might want you to replace it and put some new stuff on, even just to make it look a bit shinier than this.
It's in great shape.
It's not looking bad, actually. I mean, it's gone around the Earth, what, 1.5 times and then back down again?
Two times, yeah.
Two times, okay. And can you just, like, if we walk around, can you just tell me a little bit about it as we go? I mean, it's like I say, it's a bit like an Apollo capsule, but the Apollo capsules are almost more kind of like a, you know, like a sort of triangular pyramid type shape. It seems a bit kind of taller and squarer to me. Is there a reason for that?
I just
want to be a bit different.
Exact reasoning. So it's designed to hold 7 people. So I think it's a little bit bigger in that respect. In terms of the shape, you know, it's the same kind of aerodynamic cone shape. So you can see here there's groups of thrusters. So there's 4 on this side, 4 on the opposite side, and then 2 sets of 5, so 18 total. That's our Draco thruster. That's entirely in-house design. The big parachute mount here, so that's the drogue chutes, shoot out the side and kind of rip up the top, and then they're mounted up top.
It looks like a big kind of deep gash in the side of the capsule. I was going to ask what that is. So the chutes come out of that little box.
It shoots the parachute out. It's mounted up there, and it kind of rips along the side of the capsule and then holds on up top.
So it comes back through the atmosphere with the heat shield kind of face forward. That takes all the heat off it, comes back down. At what point do the chute open? I mean, it must be traveling pretty fast.
Yeah, it's still moving pretty quick. It's pretty high in the atmosphere, several tens of thousands of feet. The drogues open up, slow it down quite a bit. Then we open the main chutes, you know, the big 3 orange parachutes you see in all the pictures that we show off and everything. Those slow it down to just a gentle fall into the ocean.
And, I mean, this looks pretty big, pretty heavy. Why does it not just sink? That's probably a really stupid question, but I don't care. It's a question, and I want to know. It does look heavy. What have you got in there? Does it have, like, any of those, balloon things that come out the side to keep it afloat?
Once the divers come out, they put that sort of thing around it. I think if you were to wait long enough, it probably would not do so well in the ocean. But, it's hollow, right? So it's full of air, so I think it's still buoyant.
And is it only designed to land on water, or will you be able to land it on land?
Currently, it's just water, but all of our plans involve, landing it on land.
Is that going to be like the Soyuz capsule, where they kind of smack down and bounce a bit, or are you going to go for something slightly more gentle than that, do you think?
Well, I think, ideally, you want it to come down pretty gently.
Yeah, I think if I was in there, I'd want it to come down slightly more gently. But actually, if I was in there, I'd take whatever comes, basically. So when it comes down to land, and you say your divers will come out and put the inflatable things around it, I mean, how do they know exactly where it's going to land? I mean, that's pretty complicated stuff, isn't it? Because you shoot the re-entry boosters somewhere like the other side of the world, is it?
Yeah, it's most of the way back around the world, maybe a third or half the way around. But, you know, we've got telemetry from the whole thing. We know what it's doing. And at the end of the day, you've got people on a boat with binoculars watching for it. You know, it's a pretty big area where it might land.
But you know well enough that it's not just going to hit those divers, right?
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, you put them outside the expected zone, and you know, as it's flying and it starts its deorbit burn, we're watching where it thinks it's going to land, and updating all of our calculations in real time, and then send we're pretty sure it's going to land here. Go that way and send the divers off with the ship. But you know, it potentially could be hours before they get there. But we got lucky. We landed smack on in the bullseye of where we thought we were going to be, so they were able to recover it really quickly.
So at the moment, you haven't sent people up in it, but you would quite like to, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're just, a little more money and we'll be able to do it.
If you need a volunteer, I'm there. But you have sent something up, not a person, but still something quite exciting, the top secret payload. Can you say anything about that?
Yeah, it was a big block of cheese. I don't remember what kind of cheese it was, but yeah, about yay big. I guess it doesn't translate to audio, but foot and a half wide across.
It's like a proper big wheel of cheese. Yes. We're not talking Baby Bell here. We're talking like a big
wheel of cheese.
Big wheel of cheese.
Yeah, and I think
I was actually trying to persuade you guys to let me have a space cheese sandwich, but I didn't get very far with that.
Yeah, I don't think you want to eat that cheese. We have it. We currently have it cased in some kind of epoxy thing out on display in our headquarters back in LA.
I've actually been lucky enough to see it, and it's kind of cool. It's like looking at a block of cheese. It's a very random experience standing in like a new space building where on one side they're building rockets, on the other side like they're eating frozen yogurt, and then just to the left of you is this big block of cheese encased in, like you say, in epoxy, and you're like, oh, that cheese has been in space. That cheese has managed to do what I've always wanted to do.
Yep.
And it's cheese. Damn. So what next then? This is the first one that went up and around and back down.
Yep.
What other firsts have you got coming for us?
So the next Dragon hopefully will be going to the International Space Station, or the COTS program. There were three missions. So this was COTS C1. COTS C2 is designed to go close to the station, do communications checkouts, and get close but not go up there, then come back, just show that we can get, we can talk to the station and everything. And then the third one is intended to be go up, berth with the station, do the entire mission end to end. But SpaceX's take on that was, well, that's kind of a waste of time. We should just do both of those at the same time. If we're going to get that close, you might as well go the last little bit. So our hope is that when we get up there, NASA will say, yes, everything is looking good. You guys can come to the station, and we'll have combined the two missions. Obviously, that's dependent on us, not breaking while we're up there or anything. But
are you going to be sending cheese up to the space station this time, or something a bit more potentially useful or edible?
More practical, but I'm not sure what the cargo will be. It'd be kind of silly to go all the way up there and not bring them food and water and stuff, so I'm sure we'll have plenty of that up there.
And when are you going to build one that I can go in?
Hopefully soon. We're working on it.
Great. I'm going to hold you to that. Thank you very much.
Yep.